Believe the band's pretty safe at going down when I get up here. Y'all don't want me singing. We'll be running people out of here tonight. I almost just said Miss Jenya and Miss Tabitha get up here and just preach tonight because felt like they was about to let it rip. I was getting excited over there. If you would turn to the book of Job, please. Appreciate you standing for the reading of God's word. We'll start in verse 6. Excuse me. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. A surprise chapter. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now, where there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. If you would, Brother Chris, would you mind praying? Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, brother. You may be seated. Thank you for the standing and the reading of God's word. As I was praying and seeking God about what it is I felt like he would have me bring tonight, I was kind of torn between two different places. Brother Chris preached last week, and the first thing he said when he got up here was, not everybody that's with you is for you. And that stuck with me. And my little brain, it takes a lot to stick sometimes, but that locked with me today, or this week. And I've been reading and I've been going back and forth between Job and a couple places, but I feel like God's going to get it out what he's put in my heart. But Job, you see that Job was a man who was upright. Job was a man who was good. He did what God wanted him to do. He served God. He sought God. He lived with God with all of his heart. And Satan knew that. So Satan said, all right, God. God said, okay, well, if you've been looking around, what about Job? Now, I want to be a servant of the Lord, but I don't think I ever want the Lord to say, hey, how about Tony? Because I'm like, no, Lord, I don't need that. Excuse me. But you see, he said, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord. You see, Satan knew about Job. Satan had already looked at Job, but Satan knew that he couldn't touch him. Because Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Satan knew he'd already checked out Job, so it wasn't like Satan had to say, oh, let me go check him out and I'll come back. He already knew about him. But he also knew there's a reason he couldn't touch Job. Job's got all this stuff, and he's like, God, you've already blessed him. Everything he does, you increase. Everything he does, you bless. You've poured out your spirit upon him. You've done all this for him, God, so there's really not much I can do about him. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. If you've ever read the book of Job, you see what Job has been through in his life. Job has abundance. Job had all kind of stuff. And Satan come in, and God said, What about Job? What about Job? I thought of today, I was thinking, trying to think of a title, and all I could think of was, So I've had a bad day. So I've had a bad day. You know, when I have a bad day, Satan comes against me and something's happened. First thing I start doing is feeling sorry for myself. I start, well, first of all, I'll probably question, All right, God, where's this coming from? What have I done? Because I've done something that you've let this happen to me. Well, you see, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Sometimes I believe things just happen. But you see, Job was a man who sought God, who prayed to God, and God blessed him. Well, God blesses our life as well. We may not have the abundance Job had, but God has blessed our lives. Well, if you look at Job, you'll see how the devil said, All right, God, if you'll take away everything, if you'll take all that away, he's going to curse you, God. Because you see, Satan thought that Job's worship and Job's praise and Job's focus was on what he had, not who give it to him. And you see, a lot of times as Christians, that's where our focus is at, on what we got, not who give it to us. You see, our mindset gets changed. Sometimes we get to be Christians and we forget where we come from. We forget what God's done for us. We forget what we've been through, what God's brought us through. And we start blaming and we start ridiculing other people. See, I believe that we started tearing other people down instead of building people up. I believe that we started tearing people up and our mindset's got off what it needs to be on. Our mindset's not where it should be with God. Because you see, it's easier to blame other people. It's easier to tear other people down. It's easier to look bad on other people than it is to really look in our own lives and in our own hearts. You see, because if the devil comes against you with something bad, first thing I think was, All right, God, I've done something. What have I done? Because something bad's happening to me. Well, God may not have had nothing to do with it. He may have just said, Hey, what about Tony? Hey, what about Brother Adam? Hey, what about Brother Chris? What about his family? He's been living for God, doing good. But you see, a lot of times we get our focus turned away from God. The first little bit of trouble we have. I'm going to read to you, it says, There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain their servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped. You see, Job took a loss right there. His donkeys and his ox, he took a loss. Job took a loss in his life. Well, as Job was taking one loss, another one come up. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen. Let me tell you how the devil works. The devil wants you to not serve God. So the devil's going to come at you and try to twist you and get you away from God. What did he say to Job? The fire of God has fallen. So he's telling you God has taken all this away from you in this part. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Two things is enough to go through. One thing we feel is like, God, we can't take no more. I know at times before God, I've went through some stuff and I've acted like my 5-year-old when I tell him he can't have a toy at Walmart. He's pouting and stomping. And you're like, God, whose kid is that walking down that aisle? But he's pouting, he's stomping. And that's how I am with God. Let one thing come against me. And the first thing I want to do is turn my back on God. I don't want to turn to him. I don't want to grab hold of him. A lot of times I'm like, well, fine, Lord, if that's how it is. But it also tells how deep your walk is with God. It tells how good of a hold you have for him. Well, Job's done had two things come against him. The fire of God's fallen, burn up your sheep, your servants, and consume them, and I only am escaped. While he was yet speaking, we're on the third now. There came also another and said, The Chaldeans, I guess I pronounced these names right. Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. He's been through 3 things so far. He's been through his camel or his oxen and his donkeys. He went through the fire of God falling and burning up the sheep. Now they took his camels. You see, we see that, God, that was just a few little animals. That's not that big a deal. But it's not like we live today. That's how they made their wool. That's how they got their milk. That's how they did these things in their life. So that was very important to him. And he's lost one, and he's lost one, and he's lost one. And while he was yet speaking, There came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. I don't want to get to the last part. Don't read ahead. It'll spoil it. Job was sad. Job had lost everything he had. Job had abundance. God's blessed him in everything he's done. God's just poured out his spirit upon him. And right now, he's lost everything he's had. He's lost his children. He's lost all his animals. He's lost his servants. He's lost everything. It says, Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And worshiped. If we have one thing happen to us, we want to lay down and pout. I told you, sometimes I want to be like Trey. I want to pout and kick and cry. Sometimes we just want to be down. I believe Brother Chris mentioned it last week. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard as a Christian to pick yourself up. It's hard when you're down to be uplifted. Everybody sees, just like our pastor, everybody expects him to be in a good mood every time, all the time, anytime you see him, you know. And people in the church, when we see them, they're supposed to be happy, go lucky, high five you wherever you're at, never be down, no matter what they're facing. And we truly don't know what people are facing. We truly don't know what they're going through. Excuse me. We truly don't know what they're facing, but we don't want to fall down and we don't want to worship God. Our first thing we want to do is turn away from God. We want to seek elsewhere. We want to find another way to, well, God, fine, if you're going to do this, then I'll go out and do this, or I'll go find somebody else, or if that's what you're going to do to me, then I don't want to serve you anyhow. But you see, Job lost everything he had, but he fell down and he worshiped God. He prayed to God and he sought God. And he said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
Come on, amen.
Yes,
amen. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you see, that didn't do Satan good. We're not going to say, I won't sit and read all of it, but the Satan came back against God and said, all right, God, take your hedge off of him and let me have him. God said, okay, don't kill him. Well, Job got boils from his head to his feet. And what happened next is what Brother Chris said last week. All those that are for you or all those that are with you are not for you. Job had some buddies come up. Who's got the type of buddies like Job have? They come up and they're doing good. Man, I'm going to go help my brother. He's struggling. He's hurting. We're going to go see what he's got. Go see how he is.
That's right.
And then when they seen him, they didn't even speak for 7 days because he was mourning so bad. He was mourning. He was hurting. He had sores all over. He said he took the thing and scraped him. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, he's got sores and boils all over him. So not only has he got a little cough or he's a little sick, he's miserable. There's no way he could be more miserable, I don't think, than having boils. Well, his friends come over. Well, when his friends come over, they did what friends do. They try to help and they try to do good. And then the next thing you know, they're turning around. And what I said earlier about we've had a bad day. And the first thing we do is we want to turn away from God. We want to go about our way and do things. We want to do what we want. A lot of times I think as Christians we get our mindset that is, when we get things happen to us or things go wrong or we hear somebody said stuff, we get turned away from God and we get where we get in this flesh because, you see, in this flesh, we focus and we see things. We see the outer and that's what we want. We don't want to see the inner. And there's times in our lives in the flesh that we want to fuss, we want to argue, we want to gripe. It's just what we want to do because we're living this flesh. There's days that I'm having a bad dose, so guess what? I met Sister Brenda, so she's having one too. I'm going to give it to her. And they will. People will. They'll turn against God. They'll turn against each other. And they'll start bashing and tearing each other down. And that's not what we're called for. But that's what the devil's doing. Not only is he doing it outside the church, he's doing it inside the church. And that's what scares me. And that's what I've seen lately is the devil has tried to come in and he's tried to tear this church apart. He's tried to tear other churches apart. Why? Because that's what he wants. He don't want you serving and worshiping and praising God. He wants our mindset on physical things, on things we can see, like does our preacher, did he wear a suit today? Did he have a jacket on? Is it proper? Is it just right? Does he got to have a suit? Does he got to have a tie? Does he got to have nice shoes? No, we don't. Does he got to have this button that chokes everybody? There's no reason for it. Does he got to have that? No, he don't got to have that. But our mindset and our focus are on that thing. What did Brother Adam wear a button-up shirt? Did Brother Chris wear a button-up shirt? Our mind and our focus is on different things. It's not what it's on be. It's on tearing our brothers down and not building our brothers up. Where's Laz? Come here, Laz. You get to be the star student. I brought a book bag tonight. All right, Laz. You don't touch bricks. You hold the book bag. Other way. He's going on a trip. He's going on a trip. All right, this is Laz. He's my brother in Christ. He's been going through a hard time a lot. Now, everybody, this really is Laz, but I don't know what he's been going through in life, so we ain't tearing Laz down. I just know he'd be a willing helper for me. This is Laz. He's a new Christian. He's just given his life to God. Come on, Laz, walk around with me while we talk. Get that book base so you can feel it. Yeah, it's all right, though. Because you see, the Bible says we carry our cross daily. So not only are we already carrying things in our life, nobody really sees what we're facing and going through. Nobody knows what you face every day, do they? Nobody really sees, do they? I mean, your mom and dad do, but only you truly know what you face, you and God, right? All right, I ain't got just a cough, so don't worry. But only you know what you face every day. Not everybody knows it. Yeah, we say people know because sometimes some of us people see more than in others. But we really don't know what Laz is facing, what Laz is going through. But you know what? I heard Laz talk about Chase. So you know what I done? Here, stand right there, son. You know what I done? I went and talked about Laz because if he's going to talk about people, I'm going to talk about him. Because that's what he deserves, right? There's a big word to me in the dictionary. It's about like this song. It's called justification. And if I feel that I can justify my feelings, then I'm okay to think and do it. And I've even went far enough. You all right, son? I've even went far enough to say that if I got a problem with my family, they're family. So I can talk to them even worse than I would anybody else. Now, we've probably all said it, but I know I have. And I've made this statement, and I'm telling you, the good Lord has really been just punched me in the stomach with this message. Because I was reading, I'm like, Lord, are you kidding me? Because you see, as long as I can justify what I've done, what Laz has done, and what I've done to him, then it's okay. Because I can justify it. Well, you know, Laz, I really don't know what he's facing and going through. But I seen Laz, I don't know, sinning, smoking, something. He is bad-mouthing people. So you know what I did? I added a little more to Laz. Why? Well, that's what he deserves, right? He's supposed to be a Christian, and I'm supposed to be a Christian. So I can justify what I'm doing. So as long as I can justify it, I feel I'm okay with it. And I'm telling you, God has dealt with me with this because I've really thought stuff and probably done things I shouldn't, but God told me, he's like, son, it's not for you for justification. Because if I feel in my heart that I'm right in what I'm doing, come on, walk with me. If I feel that I'm right in what I'm doing, then I'm okay with it. Why? Because I can justify it. I can justify adding these bricks to Laz and yet walking with him, telling him how much I love him, telling him how I'm here for him, telling him how I'm praying for him, telling him that if you need anything, just call me, Laz, just call me. And then when I see him mess up, what I do? It's the last one, buddy. It may not even fit. Sometimes, you know, when the Christians are really bad, we've got to pack it in there. All right, Laz, that's all I got, son. That's all I found laying beside the house. So stand here with me, walk around a little bit. Walk back to that back door and come back to me. Don't nobody mess with him. But you see, as long as I feel that I'm justified in what I've done, because you see, it's easier for me to sit back and talk about somebody and point out their flaws than it is for me to sit back and look at my flaws. You see, God speak, or they speak in Matthew about getting the mote out of your own eye before you worry about the mote in your brother's eye. Well, see, we don't want to hear that as Christians. You all right, buddy?
Yeah, I broke a sweat.
Did you hear? Let me do that for you. Here's to clean that. So as long as we feel like we can justify. See, it's easy for me to point out Laz's flaws. It's easy for me to just pile them bricks on and pile them bricks on the Laz, because I really don't know what he's facing in his life. I really don't know that if he's breaking and he's tearing down or if he's really as happy as he seems. Because Laz seems to be a pretty happy kid. Every time I met him, he's always laughing, him and his brother. So he seems to be a happy kid, but I really don't know what he's facing in his life. So let me tell you. Turn around, my friend. I'm about to help you out. You see, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. And before I go, putting bricks in there, I need to really find out about Laz. When I hear Laz is talking about Chase or talking about Brother Adam or he said something, maybe I ought to go find out the whole story. Maybe I ought to find out what's going on. Why? Because it's easy for me to justify because I heard that she said that, he said that something happened. So I feel like I'm justified in what I do. And as long as I'm justified in it, then I feel it's okay. I feel it's all right for me to do. But it's not all right for me to do. Because God's not called me to be the judge. God's not called me to be the jury. What has Sister Jennifer seen tonight? Mercy. Without that mercy, every one of us would be dying and going to hell. But because of that mercy, we have freedom. We have a peace. And you know what? Little did I know, this is what Laz was already carrying around in his bag. Little did I know that that's what he was already facing. And I went to piling more on. So instead of me talking bad about him, instead of me tearing him down, why don't I take his troubles? Why don't I bear his burden? Why don't I bear his burdens? Why don't I pick him up and lift him up and tell him how much God loves him? Why don't I tell him that God's there for him? Why don't I let him know that I'm there for him? And not only let him know, why don't I be there for him? You can sit down, son. Thank you. Why don't I be there for him? Why don't I be there for my brothers or my sisters? Why do I keep tearing them down? Why? Because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to tear them down. He wants us to turn against each other, to hate against each other. But it's not. The Bible's called us to be in one mind and one accord. And you'll read in Acts 2 when they were in one mind and they were in one accord. God poured out His Spirit and He filled everybody in that upper room. Why? Because they were in one mind, one accord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Let me read it to you in the Amplified, please. Do nothing from factional motives, through consciousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, are you ready? I'm telling you, when I read this, it got me. Because it was like one of them punches in the stomachs that says, hey, you need to start getting stuff right. You need to start. If you're going to preach it, you need to be practicing it. You need to be the first one doing this. And I'm telling you, I got family members, I got people I know that it's hard to deal with. And I've said to myself that, all right, this is their last chance. I'm done with it. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. And every time I do that, it ain't long. It's like God squeezing my heart and said, what if I quit on you? What if I give up on you? What if I stopped on your second chance or your third chance or your fourth chance? Where would you be? And it's hard. It's hard living in this flesh to say, okay, God, I'll go do what you need me to do. It's hard because I'm telling you, I've done it. I'm going through it now. I'm like, God, but how many chances do I give them, Lord? He's like, how many did I give you? I'm like, well, so far at least 4 or 5 each day I've been alive. So it's not easy. It's not an easy walk. Sometimes it is hard. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself. Think more highly of one another than you do yourselves. Think more highly of one another than you do yourselves. We live in a world that has taught us to be selfish. We live in a world that's taught us that everything we want, everything we need needs to be done last week. I believe Brother Chris, man, I'm really using you tonight. I believe Brother Chris said last week he waited in a drive-thru And it was like 3 minutes, and he said he felt like he'd been there 20. That's what our whole life is geared on now. Our life is geared on me, and go, 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 go. Internet, pop up, and it takes it a few seconds. I don't know what's wrong with this phone or this internet. I'm like, why? Well, it's been spinning for like at least 12 seconds now. And we want stuff now. We want it. I mean, we do. That's how we're raised. That's how we're geared. In this world, that's what we're supposed to do. That's how it teaches us. That's how we're supposed to live. Because we're selfish. It's for us. You're here for you. Get this for you. But we're not. We're supposed to be lifting each other up. We're supposed to be encouraging each other. We're supposed to be putting others above ourselves. Do you know how hard that is? You know how hard that's to do, to put somebody above you when they've talked about you and they've bad-mouthed you and they've trashed you and they've run you down? You know how hard it is to put those people above you, more or less just do anything nice for them? It's telling us that we should put them above us. Don't just be nice to them. Don't just be fake to them. Put them above you. And I'm telling you, as I'm sitting here telling you tonight, God has really dealt with my heart, and He's really squeezed my heart with this, because I've been facing and going through this too. And God's like, look, I'll give you chances. I've done this for you. What I'm telling them to do, is I've done it for you. So you have to go out and you have to show them. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor, preferring one another. Bless them. Let's go down to 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil to evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I'm telling you tonight that what I'm up here saying, it's not easy. It's not easy to tell you, because I feel that I have a calling on my life, and if God's told me to tell you, then I ought to at least be living what I'm preaching. I'm not perfect. I'll mess up, and I'm sure I'll mess up tomorrow. But I'm telling you, it starts with me. As I'm telling y'all, we've got to start treating each other better. We've got to start loving each other. We've got to start being there for each other. We've got to start preferring one another. Yes, and it's a hard thing to do. And if we can't do it to the Christians inside the church, how are we going to do it to people we don't? And sometimes it's easier to do it to people you don't know. It is, honestly. There's been times where I've like, I'd rather be nice to people I don't know than my family. There's people in my family I've wanted to just choke at times. And y'all laugh, but you've probably been in the same boat. I would say, especially if you're married, but I don't want to be in the doghouse. But it is, we're called to love one another. We're called to lift each other up. We're called to be in one mind, to be in one accord, to lift each other up, to encourage one another. But so many times in my life, I see day to day people just tearing each other down. And I see people trying to tear each other in the church, out of the church, wherever it's at. And I'm telling you, I wasn't sure how Job was going to get into that. But we see where Job and his friends did. They come and they try to do good. And we got people in our lives that we try to do good. And there's even times myself, I've been in and I've tried to do good. One of the only times at work that I've been really frustrated. They were having a little argument in a meeting we were in, and I was sitting over there and I was thinking, I'm about to slide right in here and I'm going to make everything better. And I slid right in there, you know, I was like, well, let me tell you this. And then within like 10 seconds, I slapped the table and my voice was raising, and I caught myself, you know, I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? One of the guys was like, I've been trying to get that out of you for 20 years now. But it did. It wasn't nothing I planned. It just happened. And then I was like, look, man, I got to apologize to these people. I got to let them know. I don't know where they come from. It just come out. But it does. We feel sometimes, oh, man, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be helpful. I'm going to do this. And I'll go in and I'll destroy everything I touch. I say I got one calling in my life, and it's destruction. I can tear anything up. And I'm sure the Lord feels that way sometimes too, because I go in, I try to do good. I try to lift Him up, and then I'll just wind up destroying everything I touch. But you know, it's through His mercy and through His grace that we have the opportunities to encourage each other, to be able to lift each other up, to be able to be there for each other. Because as I appreciate Laz coming up here, we really don't know what each other face every single day. I see y'all. I see you on Sundays. I see you on Wednesdays. I talk to some of you throughout the week, but I really don't know what you face. Brother Chris was up here last week. I could tell he was sick, but I really didn't know what he was facing. And we got a prayer request Monday morning. He was going to the doctor, and I was like, Lord of mercy, we better be praying for him. But you know, the devil will come against you any way he can. And if it's to tear people down, if it's to knock people down, if it's to destroy people, or if it's in your own life, you don't think the devil won't try to get into you and let you know that, well, Brother Adam, Brother Chris has been talking about you lately. And before you know it, Brother Adam's not even coming to the church anymore. Why? Well, he heard Brother Chris was talking about it. Hey, Brother Chris, did you talk about Adam? Yeah, I said I really enjoyed his singing. But somebody's twisted something along the way, and we will. And you know, it's funny, but that's exactly what happens. Something gets twisted, something gets said, and before you know it, we're out of church. Why are you out of church? Well, so-and-so said so-and-so said so-and-so said something, you know. And we don't even find out the truth. We don't even find out what's going on. We just take people's word for it. First of all, Brother Adam, you don't come to church for Brother Chris. I hope you encourage each other, and I hope you lift each other up. But in all reality, I come so I can be fed. I'm come because I need this. I come because I need God. You know, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but I still, every week, I love coming to church because I get that fill up like I do at the gas tank. Our truck, we can fill it up, and it's going to be empty before a week or so. It's going to have to be refueled. Well, that's how I feel about church. I tell the teenagers, one of them said, well, what if you don't have to go to church to go to heaven? I said, you know what? You may not, son. There may be people that don't go to church. I said, but man, how great is it to come to church and worship with like-minded people and grow deeper in God's Word and get your strength every time you come. Every time you come, you let God fill you up more and more and more and more each time. Because bad as it is, we come here to fellowship and lift each other up. But we don't come here just for Brother Adam. We don't come just for Brother Chris. We don't come just for Brother Eddie. As much as I love his preaching, excuse me, Brother Eddie, if he's not here, God's still going to move. God's still going to deliver. God's still going to bless. God's still going to do His work. But it's up to us. I lost my place a minute ago. I got excited. But it's up to us. You see, Job had four people come against him quick. Bam, 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 bam. Before the other one even got through speaking, this one was telling him something. A lot of times we face something, we go through it one time, and we're done. All right, God, that's enough. I can't take no more. Lord, my husband's sick. That's enough. Lord, now my kid's sick. That's enough. Lord, now the devil's trying to get me where I can't even sing. That's enough. Well, you know what? That's just three testimonies I hear that's coming this way, coming your way, because I know I'm going to hear, man, you won't believe what God done for Brother Chris. You won't believe what God done for Gabe. You won't believe what God done in my life. You won't believe how God blessed and He turned things around. Because just because the doctors say something, don't mean that it's terminal. Don't mean that it's set in stone. Because there's a little boy, he's older than I am, laying in that back bed that wasn't going to live to be 5, and he turned 40 last week. Don't tell me doctors don't mess up. Don't tell me they know what God's got planned, because they don't have a clue what's in store. Only God knows that. And if we'll live by faith and we'll seek God and we'll live for Him and we'll encourage other people, then that's what we'll see. We'll see the healing. We'll see the deliverance. We'll see the strength. We'll see the anointing. We'll see every bit of that. But we got to start living for God. We got to quit tearing each other down. We got to come together and praise and worship God. We got to have the unity. We got to, first of all, we got to start living by this and stop living by this. That flesh is tearing us away and it's pulling us away, and the devil would love nothing more than to see this place tore apart. But I'm here to tell you, if we'll follow God and we'll seek God, then this place will be full. These pews will be full of people. Why? Because a lot of the times we'll spend 90% of our time trying to witness to people that should be in the church already. They already know about God. They've been filled with His Holy Spirit. They've repented. They've been baptized. And that's the ones we keep going and going and going. There's a whole world out there of people that's lost, that are broken, that are undone, that don't have a clue about this, that are starving for it. And it's time we reach out unto them. You know, we got to give people the second, the third, the fourth chances. And we've also got to reach out unto those that don't know anything about God. We got to reach out and show them what His love's about. Because if you read the Word, you see how great and how mighty He is. You see the miracles He did for Moses. It's the same miracles He did with Peter and with Paul. It's the same miracles. And God will do them for us today if we'll live for Him. If we'll give our life to Him. We just got to stop living in this flesh. Stop trying to feed this flesh so much and start feeding the Spirit. We got to get interested in this Word. We got to fall in love with this Word. You know, there's a time when I was younger, seeking for the Holy Ghost, praying, praying. I mean, it was every service I was up at the altar. I bet the preacher was like, good Lord, I wish this boy would quit. I wish he'd just quit coming up here. Because every Sunday, every Wednesday, you know, I'd be up here seeking. And I was praying, but thank God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I got such a fire about me. I was like, Lord, I got to tell everybody. I got to tell everybody. I want everybody to know. I mean, just people you meet. And then next thing you know, a few years go by, and that fire has kind of just dwindled down. Then you'll come to church, and God will get moving, and them coals will be stirred. That fire will get going, and then it won't be a couple years, and let that fire get. And that's our problem. When we start living in this flesh, we let that fire just kind of simmer on down. But if we'll seek God, if we'll praise God, if we'll live by His Word, then that fire will stay stoked, and we'll stay on fire for Him. There won't nobody be able to, Villarica won't even be able to contain us. Tonight, my heart was just set on that we got to start loving one another. We got to start being there for each other. We got to start encouraging. We got to start lifting each other up. We got to start loving each other. We should love each other. We shouldn't be bashing or tearing each other down. Job went through four miserable things. Then he went through the fifth when the devil touched his flesh. God took his hedge off of him for just a little bit. He said, don't kill him. He was miserable. He had friends that were trying to help. They thought they were going to do good. And they wound up causing Job nothing but misery. But Job held true to God.
Yes, amen.
Job never quit. He never give up. Job cursed the day he was born. He wished he wouldn't have been born. And if I had boils all over me, I'd probably be saying the same thing. But Job held strong to God. If you're facing problems, if you're facing trials in your life, if you're facing situations that have come up on you and you don't feel like you can go on, you don't feel like you can make it, you don't feel like, God, there's no end in sight for this. I've been battling with it for years. I've had it for years. I've been having this problem. God, there's no way it's going to be healed. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that there's a healer in the building. And if you've had it, if you've dealt with it, if you just found out whatever it is, God can heal you tonight. Because the Bible says, bear you one another's burdens, as I said with Lazarus in that book bag. Instead of watching him carry that book bag, I ought to take a brick out. Because he's already got a lot on him. I shouldn't be piling them in. But if I can take one out, and I can help him, it may just be one little one. I took the big one out to show you what he was already facing. But I could have got the smallest little brick that I put in here, and I could have took it out, and it still would have blessed and it would have helped Lazarus. Why? Because I'm taking weight off of them. That's our job to do with each other. Our job is to pray with each other, to help each other. So I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're facing problems, if you got stuff going on in your life and you want prayer, come up here and pray. I had a friend, his daughter had leukemia. She went through a battle, and we prayed for him. Y'all were praying for him. Took him prayer cloth, and she beat leukemia. And then he had to go back for a test, and I called him one day. I said, hey, man, how's your little girl doing? He said, well, be honest with you, man, she's doing good, but I just took her for her last test, and it's to tell if it comes back or not. And he said, honestly, he said, I'm scared to call. I don't want to. He said, because what if they tell me she's got it? And I talked to him on the phone for a little while, but I just felt God stirring up in my heart. And I felt God saying, if you call in defeat, you'll be defeated. But if you'll call in victory, you'll have victory with your phone call. And I told him, and he told me the next week, and it's not me. But he said, Tony, he said, I got thinking about what you said, about how I called in victory. And he said, I built myself, and I said, you know what? I'm calling in. I'm getting good news. And he called, and the daughter said, she's fine. She's doing great. And not only that, now, praise the Lord. She's went back to her 6 months checkup, and everything's fine. Her hair's growing back, and he said, she's wild as ever. But he praised God. Why? Because God moved. God delivered. Why? Because there were people praying. Faith. Faith is what we got to have. And faith is what we need for each other.
Yes, amen.
If you would stand for me. Miss Jennifer, would you mind playing something? I felt like I delivered what God laid on my heart. I battled with it and I dealt with it, but I prayed that God would have His way and that I would just be a vessel. I would just be what He wants me to be.
Yes.
And if there's any of you that need prayer, if there's any of you that want prayer, this altar is open. We'd love for you to come down. We'd love to pray with you. If you would, just bow your head and close your eyes.
Yes.
Dear Lord, we praise you, God. We love and we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, we know that Job went through a lot, but God, we know that he was restored because he held on to you. He held on to his faith and he held on to your strength, God. And we pray that if we're facing battles in our life, that we can do the same. Help us not to give up. Help us not turn around, but help us to hold on to you, Lord. Help us to love each other, to lift each other up.